Welcome to Real Estate Radio LA. This radio program talks about the good, the bad, and the ugly of real estate today right here in Los Angeles. Take the opportunity to ask your host, Gil Azcarotti of eXp Realty, one of the fastest growing real estate companies in the United States, about his incredible experiences in the real estate market. From agents to owners to property managers, fixing and flipping houses, and everything in between, he has seen it all. These topics and more right here, right now on Real Estate Radio LA. And now your host, Gil Azcarotti.
Welcome to Real Estate Radio LA. I'm your host, Gil Azcarotti, the real estate agent to the stars, and you are all stars to me. Real Estate Radio LA is dedicated to real estate right here in Los Angeles. A 25-year veteran of the real estate industry, I've done it all, from investor to agent to flipping to buying to owning, and I've seen some things, and I am here to try to help unravel the complications and the beauty of the real estate industry. So first, my DRE number is 01298646. This show is for information and entertainment purposes only and not intended to give you legal or business advice, so please consult your local professional or your qualified professional regarding your particular situation. But if I was you, I would listen to me because I'm going to do it for free. And I dive into these topics and I'm trying to be specific and help you understand that the greatest industry in the world is real estate right here in America. You can make so much money, but you can also, it can also turn into the American nightmare. And the American dream is under attack. I say that every week. And now more than ever, my industry is under attack. So I've got a special guest today. He's been on the show three or four times. And I don't usually do that. He was referred to, I don't even remember who said he was the smartest guy he knew. I was totally insulted by that. But he is the second smartest guy in this room. That being said, Chris Gardner, welcome back to Real Estate Radio LA.
Thank you, Gil. Great to be here again.
We've got an interesting topic, and we're going to dive right into it. There has been some movement. You may or may not have heard that there's a big lawsuit going on for NAR, the National Association of Realtors, and people don't know, or maybe they have heard, so we're going to break that down a little bit. Chris, if you'd be so kind, first of all, tell me a little bit about yourself. What makes you qualified to be here with me like four times?
30-year real estate broker, a non-practicing attorney, mortgage lender for all those years, just an immersion in the real estate industry from pretty much every perspective.
Right. So you know the legal side of it, you know the business side of it, you know the loan side of it, you know the FHA side of it. And that's why the first person I called was you. Tell me about this lawsuit that's happening, that's getting a lot of traction. And again, people don't understand what's going on. So let's break that down. What happened recently?
So recently there was a big federal decision. A jury came back with a verdict that found in Missouri that the real estate industry has conspired, that they've worked towards keeping real estate commissions inflated by requiring the seller to pay the buyer's agent a commission to list the property in the MLS. It was a requirement to do so. And you had to publish what that commission was so that everybody knew what they were working for and what they would be earning before putting together a deal.
So it seems fair, because I've been doing this for 25 years. You've been doing it for a long time. It seems fair to say, hey, this is what the buyer's agent is going to make if you are successful in bringing the best buyer. And we advertise that. We actually put it in the MLS, the multiple listing service. So we thought that was being open, being clear about what you're going to make. Why is that turned into a big problem?
Well, there are class action attorneys out there that saw the practice of requiring the listing agent to offer half of their commission in most situations to the buyer's agents to stimulate the housing market. And a jury agreed with them. They feel that that requirement that you have to pay the buyer's agent a commission as a seller is anti-competitive.
Okay, so let's break that down. I go on a listing appointment, you go on a listing appointment, we're talking to the seller and we say commission is going to be 5 or 6%. And we say, I don't get to keep all that. Let's say it's 5%, I get 2.5%, and we're going to advertise in the MLS 2.5% to the buyer's agent. Now, 5%, half, that's negotiable. In the contract, it's in bold. Commissions are negotiable. I could go to 2%, and we could give the other agent 2%. But they're saying, and you and I have talked about this, I look at it as almost commission fixing or price fixing, that we're all colluding in a back room saying, hey, let's not go under 2.5%. I don't think that's true. I don't know what's going on in Missouri, but it's not happening here. But in a nutshell, that's what's under attack, correct?
Correct. The idea that they were able to show at trial that the properties that didn't offer 2.5% were shown much less frequently. And that harms values, that harms people's ability to find properties and to purchase homes.
And you and I also work with buyers. So if there's a bunch of houses on the market, 20 on a Saturday, I'm going to show my client 20 houses, and one of them is offering 3% commission. Maybe I'll bump that up to the top of the list. Maybe the majority are offering 2.5% commission, and we'll show those. And they're basically saying the agents or the sellers that are only offering 2 or 1.5% are not necessarily being shown. Is that accurate?
That's what was the findings of the jury in that particular lawsuit.
Okay, so let's break that down as business people who do this all the time. I am not with my family on a Saturday. I'm showing 20 houses. I'm going to make more money showing this house as opposed to this house. That's normal. That's a business person. Because again, we could show 100 houses and the buyer doesn't buy it, and we worked for free. So the commission is enticing to show it.
Correct.
Okay. So I did a little study in West Hills where I live, and it's not in depth. And I looked at 13 houses that are active in the 91304 area code. 13 houses, 5 of them offered 2%, 2 of them offered 2.25%, 6 of them offered 2.5%. So half of them were offering 2.5%, which tells me that sellers do know that they can offer less than 2.5%. So there's no price fixing going on. I also looked at pending. So these are properties in escrow, 20, and 10 of them offered 2.5%. One of them offered as low as 1.75%, 1.75%. Again, not everybody is at 2.5. I don't know what's going on in Missouri, but here we are very open to tell the seller commissions are negotiable. And if you go too low, agents may not show your house as much. Now, that being said, tell me a little bit about contractually what's going to happen to the commissions.
So the decision that was handed down by the jury, the verdict that they came up with, is different than what the Department of Justice is trying to get accomplished. So the decision states that the buyer, that the seller no longer has to offer a commission to list the property in the MLS and offer any commission to the buyer's agent. That leaves open the possibility that the buyer's agent can write in the contract the seller to pay the buyer's agent a commission, whatever that amount is. The Department of Justice is trying to decouple that and make it impossible, illegal, for the seller to have any involvement in any way, shape, or form with the payment of the buyer's agent commission. They will only pay their own listing agent commission, and the buyer has to negotiate their commission with the that they're going to pay to the buyer's agent themselves.
Wow. Okay, so dual agency, which means me representing the seller, I successfully find the buyer, the best buyer. I can now not represent both the buyer or the seller, even if I give them a commission. It has nothing to do with it. I cannot represent the buyer, correct?
No, you could. You just have to negotiate your buyer's agent commission with the buyer, and the listing commission that you negotiated, you'd be paid for by the seller.
Interesting. Okay, so right now, dual agency in California is legal, but you're saying it's probably not going to be legal for long.
I think most people in the industry believe that the DOJ believes that the dual agency creates too many conflicts and inflates the cost of real estate. And so the DOJ is going to be the entity that's behind making dual agency not permissible anymore.
Okay. I disagree on one part of it. I do agree that there could be the perception of when you represent both that you cannot be impartial. I've done hundreds of dual agency representing both parties. I open it up. I'm going to be clear. I'm going to tell everybody what's going on. I'm going to cover my butt, and I've never been sued, and it's always gone well. But You're saying that the DOJ is going to say that is not going to happen in the future.
Correct.
Interesting. Interesting. That changes a lot. So the idea of it is to help, right? It's under disguise to help the first-time buyer, the guy who doesn't have a lot of money, to lower the prices, lower the commission. So it's under the disguise of helping this poor, innocent person who cannot afford a property. I don't think that is what's going to happen. You remember when they passed the lottery here and they were saying $2 billion is going to our schools? Has LA Unified gotten better with all these billions of dollars? No, it was actually a bait and switch, and they do that all the time. In this case, I think it's disguised to help the buyer. So if the seller's not paying the commission, now the buyer may have to pay the commission. So why is that good for the buyer?
It's only going to increase their closing costs. So I don't think it is good for the buyer. And even the sellers who now aren't paying the buyer's agent commission, when they themselves sell and then buy, they're going to have to pay the buyer's agent commission.
Okay, so to recap. So right now, the seller is paying both sides. Now the buyer is going to have to pay his agent. It's negotiable. So basically, they're going to hire an agent. They're going to say, hey, listen, I'm going to hire you, and I'm going to pay you X. And they could have multiple agents, too, working for them, right? So now, successfully, an agent finds it, and let's say they're offering 1%, $900,000, $9,000. The buyer's closing cost just went up $9,000 in addition to all the other closing costs for a buyer. That's why you and I agree this isn't necessarily good for the buyer. So now the buyer's closing cost just went up $9,000.
Correct.
What else does a buyer pay for?
Appraisal, title, escrow, lending fees, and those aren't going to go away.
Inspection, you've got to come in with a certain amount of months of property taxes. You got to come in with a certain amount of months of insurance. The buyer's closing costs just went up. So if we could just isolate that statement right there, is this better for the buyer? The buyer's closing costs just went up. The seller may think he's getting off and he's going to actually pay less commission. But like you said, when that seller goes to buy, now he has to pay commissions.
Correct.
Okay, so we're going to take a little break. Thank you for doing this, Chris. This is amazing to me. Chris called me a few months ago and said it was a big deal. And I said, don't worry about it. That's Missouri. This is LA. We are just a bunch of really cool people here, and the government doesn't get involved in our stuff and taxes and everything. This is just great place to live and great place to do real estate. And then, Chris, I humble myself and say, you were right. So this is Gil Ascarati, Real Estate Radio LA. Go to realestateradiola.com, and we'll be back right after this. Hi, Gil Ascarati of Real Estate Radio LA. Join me for the 15th annual Grateful Hearts event to raise money for local police and fire departments. Saturday, April 6th at Warner Center Park in Woodland Hills. Join Jay Leno and his classic car collection. Take pictures with the Los Angeles Rams cheerleaders. Great food, great live music, and free admission. Sponsored by Dan Stroll of Good Suite in Woodland Hills, the West Valley Warner Center Chamber of Commerce, the Los Angeles Rams, Vista Ford, and AM 870 The Answer. That's Saturday, April 6th from 9 to 4 p.m. at Warner Center Park in Woodland Hills. For more information regarding sponsorship or entering a classic car or selling your house, reach out to me, Gil Ascarati of eXp Realty, or go to realestateradiola.com. That's realestateradiola.com. See you on April 6th. Bring the kids a grateful heart and show our local heroes some love. Welcome back to Real Estate Radio LA with my special guest, Chris Gardner. JJ, do you remember who the person was in The Pursuit of Happiness? Remember the Will Smith movie?
Oh, yeah.
Chris Gardner. This is not the same one. But what a great movie. And every time
excellent
I remember
movie.
That's why I don't forget his name. But I've got a special guest, Chris Gardner. We've talked about the lawsuit. We don't know where that's going to end up. And I want to talk about other things that actually makes my guest special. His heart's in the right place. I feel like my heart's in the right place. We always try to do the right thing. So if we see a property and it's only offering 1.5% and it's the best property for my client, I'm going to show it. Some agents won't. But segueing to the next topic, You've got a couple other companies. Let's talk about those real quick. Talk about HOA, because if NAR is really interested in protecting the consumer, the buyer, they should make this mandatory. Tell me about your HOA company.
So we create a report for condos. We have discovered in the last 15 years that most condo associations are pretty much on the verge of bankruptcy. And most buyers don't know this. They don't investigate the condo. And NAR and all of the Association of Realtors, because they're trade groups, they don't want sales to suffer. They want agents to be able to buy and sell property. And so consequently, they don't really promote or endorse the idea that the buyer should fully investigate the condo before buying it. And so we have a report. We create a report for condominiums that tells the buyer effectively what is the financial condition of this HOA, because you're going to have to pay dues for as long as you live there.
What's the name of the website so they can get a hold of you?
CondoFacts.
CondoFacts.net?
Yep.
Okay. So just like Carfax that tells you the history of the car, this is CondoFacts that's going to tell you the history of the HOA. Should you buy in a homeowner's association without knowing their financials? Absolutely not. I've done shows on this. If you want details, reach out to me, reach out to Chris, because I feel that this is the next big wave of lawsuits. And if NAR, the National Association of Realtors, or CAR, the California Association of Realtors, would make this part of the contract, get an inspection, get an appraisal, and basically audit the homeowners association before you buy. And that's what you do, correct?
Right.
You give a report.
We give a report that outlines the financials, the current financials, the reserve studies, the condo association's compliance with the state laws. And there's a huge body of law that governs condominiums. And it gives the buyer a snapshot of its insurance. All of the background of the HOA is now available to the buyer so that they can know what their dues are going to be, because the dues are an illusion. Condo dues are an illusion.
They just make up a number.
They're artificially low because it doesn't help sell the unit when the condo dues are high, so they keep them artificially low. And then you're living in the association. A year later, boom, here's a special assessment. Here's another $6,000 you got to come up with because we have no money. And you're the owner now, so you have to pick up the tab for whatever it is we have to repair because we have no money.
You know, I've talked about this. A special assessment is basically saying bad planning.
Correct.
A 50-year-old roof, they had 50 years to plan to redo the 50-year-old roof. And all of a sudden, oh, my God, we totally forgot about it. It's been 50 years. It sort of just went by the wayside, and we sort of just missed it. New buyer, $700 a month in an assessment for the next 5 years, whatever that is. Okay, so that is huge. That is really huge. What percentage of the homeowners associations would you say in the United States would get a green light?
Probably 3 or 4%.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yep. And those would be new construction that haven't had the accruing maintenance, right? So the new construction, it's new. You have 30 years to save, and they can catch up. But it's all the kicking the can down the street, all the maintenance, because it costs money. And it's really gotten bad because the cost of construction has skyrocketed. So even the associations that are the most diligent still don't have enough money to cover today's costs of lumber and labor and insurance. And consequently, they're all in terrible financial shape, virtually all of them.
And homeowners associations should do a reserve study. What percentage of homeowners associations would you say do a reserve study as the government mandates?
Okay, in this country, there's only 10 states that require a reserve study. And in not one single of those states is it required that you follow it. So what these associations do is they do the reserve study and say, yeah, we're not going to follow that, but we did it, dot the I, cross the T, we complied with the law, we did the study, and then we're just going to, as a board, vote, yeah, we don't want to follow it because we as the board members don't want our dues going up 100% or 150%.
So sort of like a self-reserve study and yeah. Just say, yeah, we'll deal with it later.
Yeah.
And later it never comes.
In 40 states, they don't even have one. And so in 40 states, every single condo we review fails because you simply don't have the documentation and the projections of what it's going to cost to live in that association. At least with a reserve study, with educated eyes, you can look at it and say, okay, now I know this association is going to cost me to live in it an extra $4,000 a year because the dues are so low. Without the reserve study, you have no template to have any idea.
You have no idea what you're buying.
Right.
But isn't the real estate agent or the appraiser or escrow or title or the lender, aren't they looking at those documents? Wouldn't they have a vested interest in saying, hey, before I loan this buyer $700,000, I want to see how the HOA is doing. Isn't anybody looking at these documents?
No, because every entity that insures mortgages or offers mortgages doesn't want this to come out, because if they were serious about condo underwriting, there would be very little condo lending done in this country. They want to do these loans. The loan officers, the mortgage companies want these loans to go through, and they want them to happen. And they don't want to look at the reality, the ugly picture of what HOAs are. So everybody's kicking the can down the street. You mentioned the appraiser. I don't know how you can appraise a unit without appraising the HOA in which it exists.
I can't agree with you more. And the reason the appraiser doesn't do it is because the lender doesn't mandate it.
Correct.
So the appraiser is just doing his job.
And the appraiser isn't qualified. The appraiser, he can look at values and comps and say, this unit is worth this amount of money, but he doesn't have the ability or the know-how or expertise to forensically look at the financials of an association and say, it's solvent or it's insolvent.
Who's qualified to do that?
Well, we are qualified to do it.
Exactly.
Agents aren't qualified. They have no idea. It's not their job, in all fairness.
I have no idea what I'm looking at,
no.
Right? And it could be thousands of pages.
Oh, it is. It is typically, 600-700 pages.
And escrow sends it to the buyer, and they say, sign right here that you received and study these, and you accept the financials and the information. So everybody's covering their butts. But the buyer has no idea what they just signed. So reach out to Chris if you are in an association or if you are buying in an association and know what you're buying. Another company you've got, and that's why I look to him as an expert, is FHA and VA loans are assumable. It blows my mind that nobody knows this. In a nutshell, explain that service to us.
We are paid to process the assumption between the buyer and the current borrower seller. There's a lot of regulations that govern these assumptions that the servicer, the current mortgage holder, has to abide by. There's hundreds of pages of rules and guidelines that set forth the requirements of the buyer and the responsibilities of the seller and the servicer to make it so that the buyer can take over the seller's loan.
In English, that means the buyer can assume the seller's FHA loan at 3.5%, 4%, 5%, whatever it is. It's usually less than what it is right now. It is a huge, huge savings. And real estate agents don't know this. And if they do know it, they don't know how to do it. So if you are a buyer interested, reach out to me. We will work something out. We can get you that list. We're not going to do it for free. Chris isn't just going to, give that information away. Nobody really understands it, how to read it. But if you are a buyer and you are interested in assuming an FHA loan or a VA loan, how do we get a hold of you?
FHA Pros is the name of the company. The website is FHAProsLLC.com. And it has a lot of great information on the site about assumable loans, about the requirements. We have a really big FAQ section, so it can answer some of your questions if you're a veteran or not, or first-time home buyer or not, or if this is the 10th house you've bought.
You can save tens and maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars, people. Look at the details, and you will find out that interest rates take up the majority of your payment. We got to go. Chris, I enjoy having you. God bless you. Thank you for coming in. This is Gil Ascarati, Real Estate Radio LA. Go to realestateradiola.com. JJ, can we still say God bless you in this country?
We still can.
We can. Well, God bless you, everybody. God bless our troops now more than ever. God bless America, the greatest country in the world. And may God bless your real estate. Hope it's full of love and peace and a whole lot of equity. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Real Estate Radio LA with your host, Gil Ascarati of eXp Realty. If you would like to contact Gil directly, go to realestateradiola.com. That's realestateradiola.com. Or call him right now at 818-632-8006. That's 818-632-8006. If you're interested in learning more about the unique selling propositions he's spoken about on the show, or if you're a licensed real estate agent looking to join a successful team, Gil is looking for talented, ambitious professionals all over California. Log on to realestateradiola.com or call Gil at 818-632-8006. That's 818-632-8006. 632-8006.